ASAP. Any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go. Come on.
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown. 90-yard touchdown.
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And on today's show, we are joined by John Kegley as well, one of the original founding members of the Locked On Chargers podcast. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, happy Friday. Welcome into everyone who is listening for the first time, and welcome back to all of our faithful listeners. Glad to send you guys into the weekend with a great show. Today, we are going to be talking about a Bleacher Report article that thinks they have the most likely Charger to be traded before the season starts. So we're going to get into that and see if we have any other guys we would put up for that nomination. And then in the second segment, we're going to be getting into some quotes from Derwin James. Derwin James spoke with the media this week, and he had some high praise for his head coach, Anthony Lynn. He talked a little bit about this Chargers defense and Nazir Adderley as well, so we're going to get into everything he had to say in segment two. And then to wrap the show up, we did a little Twitter fan mail post on Twitter, and we got a lot of people writing in, so we have a lot of questions to get into there, talking about some themes for the 2020 season, the Russell Okung trade, and a little bit about Hard Knocks as well. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. Bleacher Report has released an article this week, and they think there is one player that is the most likely to get traded from the Los Angeles Chargers. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Christopher Knox from Bleacher Report has come out with an article ranking the number one most likely player on each NFL team to get traded. And for the Los Angeles Chargers, they have that player as Denzel Perryman. Perryman is a linebacker who was a second round pick of the Chargers a few seasons ago, but he has not been able to stay on the field with the team and is going into a contract season. And with some new additions into the linebacking core this offseason, Denzel Perryman could be on the hot seat. So, David, do you think that Denzel Perryman is likely to be traded by the Chargers?
I mean, it could make sense. There's a couple of scenarios that definitely could be put together where it could make some sense for the Chargers to try to get rid of Denzel Perryman before the season starts. First thing is he is a free agent after this season. So if he doesn't look like he's, or if it doesn't look like he's going to make the team, then the Chargers could try to get something for him. The Chargers also have Drew Tranquil waiting in the wings, who came up last year on special teams and carved out a prominent role in the defense as well at the linebacker spot. And of course, the Chargers drafted another linebacker in Kenneth Murray in the first round. But me personally, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. The Chargers don't have a lot of depth at that position, nor veteran leadership. And Denzel Perryman's missed 18 games over the last three seasons, so he's not exactly that sexy of a trade target for teams out there. He's pretty good against the run, but he is a liability in coverage, so I don't find it a likely scenario at all.
I don't necessarily think it's going to happen either. We have heard this coaching staff praise him. Anthony Lynn has said before he thinks when he's healthy, he's one of the best linebackers in the league. But right now, he is an early down linebacker in a league that is really getting away from it. And I think you're right that the Chargers would not get very much if they tried to trade him. The last few linebacker trades that were mainly centered around inside linebackers got the New York Jets a sixth round pick when they traded Darren Lee to Kansas City, and also the Packers acquired B.J. Goodson from the New York Giants, and all they got was a swap of conditional seventh-round picks. So it's not a position that you usually get much for out of a trade, and at this point, most of his salary for this season is guaranteed. But David, when you look at this, it's saying that he is the most likely player to get traded, but all of the rumors this offseason have actually pointed towards another Charger being the most likely to get traded.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at likely players on the Chargers team that could get moved, the first name that comes to mind is Desmond King. Desmond King coming off a down year, and the Chargers went out in free agency and signed Chris Harris Jr. to play in the slot, a position that Des King filled for the last couple of years for the Chargers. Also, Des King will have a good amount of trade value, although he did have a down year. He has an all-pro nod at the corner and a second-team All-Pro nod as a punt returner, so he has some pedigree. He definitely has some value. He can come in and help a couple of cornerback needy teams out there. He can get, and the Chargers can get some decent return from him as well. The Chargers already have a player at his position, and I think that makes Desmond King a little bit more expendable for the Chargers.
Yeah, and I think when you factor in the fact that he already had disciplinary issues with the Chargers last season that got him suspended, and the fact that they really just replaced him with Chris Harris Jr., and they've talked a lot this offseason about finding ways to use him on the field and having him there for competition, but it does seem like there is a chance that you're going to have a guy who's made an all-pro team sitting on your bench, which is not something that you necessarily need. Obviously, depth is always a good thing, but that is one of the deepest positions on the Chargers is their secondary. So I think it could make sense, and I think we have seen a precedent set for even slot cornerbacks to bring back value in a trade, even in the middle of the season when people go down. So I don't know if it'll happen before the season, but with COVID-19 right now and the uncertainty of the 2020 season, if people start testing positive, if teams looking to make the playoffs need to make a move, Des King could be high up on the list, especially if the Chargers find themselves out of playoff contention. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be talking about what Derwin James had to say this week before getting into some fan Twitter questions at the end of the show. But first, I need to tell you guys that Built Bar is back. We're continuing our promotion with Built Bar, aka the best protein bar on the planet. And I know the number one thing you care about when it comes to your protein bar is the taste. And Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And they have so many great flavors to choose from, including six new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, and a few more. And the best part is Built Bars are healthy for you as well. So not only does it seem like you're having a really tasty treat, you're also getting something that is also good for you if you're trying to be health conscious or if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while trying to indulge in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, and high protein. And right now, you can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. And if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your order at builtbar.com. All right, so one of the guys that has had some media availability in the wake of Hard Knocks this week was Derwin James, the Chargers star safety, who didn't have a really big episode in Hard Knocks, but did have the scene where Anthony Lynn stole his glasses and then he wouldn't give them back to him. And he said he still has not gotten those glasses back. But I thought that Derwin James had some very interesting things to say about what he thinks about the Chargers this season. Starting with one player I'm going to selfishly start with because we love him so much and want to see him get on the field so much based on the very little that we've seen. And that is Nazir Adderley, the Chargers free safety who they took in the second round of the 2019 draft, who Derwin James said is poised for a breakout year, saying that he looks explosive so far on the practice field. And of course, John, when you're talking about someone having a breakout year, the one thing they have to be able to do is get on the field. And I think that's the uncertainty with Derwin James. With Nazir Adderley at this point, of course, the Chargers draft him in the second round. They want to find ways to get him on the field, but there is the pesky Rayshon Jenkins, who the coaching staff really seems to love. So what do you think about Derwin James talking about Nazir Adderley? Obviously, they were talking about being potentially the best safety duo, and it seems like Derwin James still has Nazir Adderley on his mind as far as the guy he wants to be back there with.
I think Derwin knows how explosive he is and how explosive Nazir Adderley is. I think with that combo right there, their chemistry and ability to feed off each other's speed would really make for a great duo. So I think Derwin's kind of like hinting at he wants that over Rayshon Jenkins. But at the same time, I mean, would you expect anything else really? I mean, would you expect Derwin James to talk bad about anybody on the team, saying that he looks explosive out there? We expect him to be explosive. Is there at least supposed to be a ball hog that can cover sideline to sideline in the snap of a finger? So he better be explosive. But how is he doing training-wise? How is he doing to prevent himself from getting hurt? How durable is he looking? Does he look like he's been stretching a lot? Those are the questions I have about it. So hearing Derwin James say he looks explosive doesn't really make news to me, but it sounds like Derwin really wants to play with Nazir Adderley. So do the coaches listen to the players, or do the coaches stick with their own stubborn heads? I think that's where you can start to look at during the season.
Well, and I think the one thing that's more news is just the fact that he thinks he's going to have a breakout year, because if he's saying that right now and he didn't think that he was going to be able to get on the field right now, it wouldn't make much sense. So it seems like Derwin James thinks Nazir Adderley is going to get on the field. I think the best case scenario is that they can find another way to try to use Rayshon Jenkins to have his ability on the back end back there with Derwin James, to free up Derwin James to do more of the things he's great at, like blitzing, staying up near the line of scrimmage, and being able to get downhill, which is my absolute favorite part of his game. So the more he can do that, and the more safety that you'd have behind him, and you don't have Rayshon Jenkins back there potentially missing a tackle that's going to bust out for 60 yards and a touchdown, I'm all for it. So I'll take any kind of Nazir Adderley hype that I can get, because that also means that he's out there and he's healthy. But getting into another thing he said, David, is what he had to say about Anthony Lynn. And I think his quotes about Anthony Lynn were pretty good. I mean, you can't talk much higher of a coach. And we always hear that Anthony Lynn is a player's coach and that these players absolutely love to play for him. And I think we got a little piece of that in Hard Knocks. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, but Derwin James came back and backed that up with his quotes.
He definitely did. Derwin James speaking glowingly about his head coach. And it first started when Anthony Lynn made the announcement to the rest of the team that he had in fact contracted COVID-19. He said, "We already knew as a team. I feel like it's a great sign of a leader, a great sign of somebody that, hey, this happened to me. Everybody is not excluded from it." I think it's big of him coming forward doing that on national TV. I feel like it speaks volumes. So I think you just hear in there just how much he's bought in and how much he believes in Anthony Lynn. And if that doesn't convince you, this definitely will. Derwin James goes on to say, "I feel like he's a great guy. You can just look up and be like, damn, that's really my coach. He's an alpha dog. He walks in and everybody knows he's the guy. That's coach." That's high praise from a guy we all know who is an alpha dog, and that is Derwin James. So if Derwin James is talking about Anthony Lynn like that, then, and everybody knows that DJ is already a leader on this team, then I think he can speak for most of the rest of the team. And I think Anthony Lynn just was highlighted throughout the first episode of Hard Knocks. You saw multiple examples of why these guys will follow and will love to play for Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, and for all of these guys who have been alpha dogs their whole life to walk into this facility and be like, that's the alpha dog right there, and be thinking about their coach, which is why, I mean, it's so much easier just to be a coordinator or something like that when you don't have to command the respect of the whole team. If you're the head coach, all of those players have to respect you, or at least know that if, you know, they're not doing exactly what you want them to be doing, there are going to be ramifications to that. And it seems like Anthony Lynn really has that control of that locker room, which I think is a sign of, you know, partially being a good coach. Obviously, you have to go out there and win as well. But another thing that Derwin James had to say in his press conference interview was talking about what this defense needs to do in 2020. He said that on paper, they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and he doesn't think that there's a secondary that's better than the Chargers' secondary. But he also said that it's not going to be about big hits like that this year. It's going to be more about getting interceptions, getting more sacks, because last year, John, the Chargers obviously missed Derwin James, and their defense definitely suffered because of that. But one of the main reasons that the Chargers' defense wasn't great last year is because they weren't taking the ball away, and that was partially because, A, they were giving up way too much space for, you know, teams to just get easy completions on them. But the other thing was, is they couldn't cover people long enough for their pass rush to get home. They ended up 28th in the league last year in sacks. So I think what he's saying here really is, it's not going to be about the flashy hits and stuff like that for this team. They're worried about wrapping up, making the save tackles, but more importantly, playmaking, getting sacks, getting interceptions, finding the way to get the ball back to your offense.
Well, I mean, that's the way the player should be thinking, is making the safe tackles and all those kind of things. But in the end, it all comes down to game plan, because if you're running the zone that you ran last year, you could be making the safe tackles and trying to get sacks all you want. But if they're getting 11 yards a pop on a zone defense, it don't matter what you're tackling. You're still letting them get a first down. I think the real focus has to be about the blitz. And it's got to be the players knowingly reading every single gap that they're going to be blitzing, and knowing whether they're going to hit it or if they have to jump to the next gap, knowing your assignment, having a good IQ. I think the players need to really focus on IQ this year, both in the film room and on the field. That's how I think it should be playing out. The tackles are great and all. Most people made a great tackle last year. Just Rayshon Jenkins was the big exemption from this, and Denzel Perryman. So tackling isn't the big issue. It's covering with a zone defense, that's the issue. You got to get more man coverage.
Speaking of that, John, Derwin James actually made a comment about that. He said in his rookie year, 2018, he was really only playing mostly on athletic ability and instincts. And now he has a lot firmer grasp on the playbook and the intellectual side of the game, and he expects to be even better. So if he was an all-pro as a rookie playing on instincts and now he actually has a grasp of the defense, I think the NFL, all of them, should watch out.
Obviously, we hope that at this point we've really only seen a fraction of what Derwin James can do, which is crazy to think about how good he was as a rookie and thinking about him getting better from that. Obviously, we will just happily just take a healthy Derwin James and let the rest kind of work itself out. But obviously, his instincts are great, and there's a certain amount of instincts that goes into football. You have to have good instincts to be a good player most of the time, but the rest of it is being a student of the game and knowing what's going to happen based on watching all of this other team's tape. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, even under athletic guys in the league, they can find ways on teams by just knowing where to be at the right time. And for Derwin James to have all of that athleticism and to also, you know what's coming, basically, I mean, that is absolutely something that the Chargers should be looking forward to, and to have, you know, someone on the back end. And I think John's right, the tackling was better last year. I still think it was below average, but I would say that, I mean, obviously that's important. They've gotten better, but you know, if you still have guys like Rayshon Jenkins out there, if you're still willing to give that kind of cushion and give up not even 11 yards, if you're just giving up 6 yards, a free 6 yards every time, it's not going to work out for you. Down and distance is going to be a huge thing for the Chargers this year. If you can get teams into 3rd and 10, if you can clog it up on the first couple of downs, that's going to be what gets this team pressure. That's what's going to get this team sacks, and that's what's going to be get this team interceptions at the end of the day. That's how you get playmaking possibilities, is when you know what they're going to do and you can plan accordingly. But we do have one more segment to get into, because we have a bunch of Twitter questions to get into. We're going to be talking about Hunter Henry's next contract in the wake of Travis Kelce and George Kittle's contract, and also some fantasy questions, Hard Knocks questions, and more coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, we put a Twitter post out on Thursday asking you guys for some questions, and you really came through again. We're not even going to be able to get to all of the ones I wanted to get to. We have a couple about the stadium that were the least Chargers related, so if we have time, we'll try to get to those on another show. But we do have 5 Chargers specific questions to get into from Twitter, and we're going to start with John Ayers, who asks, where do you rate Hunter Henry in the NFL tight end landscape moving forward after 2020, and what kind of contract would you offer him, the years, the guarantees per year, the total money, and all that? So, David, obviously we know when Hunter Henry is healthy, he's one of the better tight ends in the NFL, and he can produce as such. But now that you've seen what George Kittle has got, and you also see the Travis Kelce extension, where do you think that puts the market for Hunter Henry at this point?
The market for Hunter Henry right now is to be determined, and is to be determined on his play and his availability this year. I mean, how much he gets in a contract right now is really, honestly, a little bit blank. You know, he has to go out there and perform. He has to be on the football field for 15 or 16 games and put up some decent numbers. The two contracts that were given out today to those guys, Kittle and Kelce, definitely do nothing but help Hunter Henry make a little bit more money than he could have made before. So for me, I'm thinking the parameters are probably, if he has a good strong year this year, would be probably in the $11 to $13 million per year, and probably 4 to 5 years, and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $25 to $28 million guaranteed, considering that George Kittle got $30 million guaranteed in his contract.
And at this point of recording, I'm not sure what the guaranteed money is on Travis Kelce's 4-year $57 million extension, so he's going to be making just a little bit less than George Kittle is, which is weird because it happened after, and you know, it seems like these days everybody who's the latest guy is going to reset the market. But I do think this absolutely cost the Chargers money. I think the Chargers could have worked out a deal somewhere around the range of $10 million. I think that you're hoping, best case scenario, if Hunter Henry comes out and plays a full 16-game season, that he's going out there putting in production as a top 5 tight end, and you're getting that kind of output from someone. But then also, if he does perform very well in 2020, you have to think about the fact that that's just going to make him that much more expensive. And when you see these deals, it makes it seem like now the price tag just went up. Now it's probably going to be $12 to $13 million a year next season if the Chargers want to re-sign him, if everything goes right and he has a really, really good season. And when you compare that to the Chargers' $39 million in approximate cap space next season, according to Over the Cap. If Keenan's also going to make 20, that leaves you with about, you know, $6 million left over. So it's not going to be easy to get all these guys paid, because that's not even including the other guys who are slated to be free agents after this season. But we do have another question to get into. This one's going to be from Chargers Nerd, one of our favorites. And he says, which of the main 2020 themes is more vital for the Chargers to make a playoff run? One, the defensive star power and altered scheme clicking to form an elite, not just very good defense. Or two, Taylor and the brand new offensive scheme clicking to form a top 10 to 15 offense. John, I think this is a really good question. Which one would you go with if you had to pick out of those two?
I would have to go with the offense, but it would be so that it could benefit the defense. If we're just going with a high-powered defense and the offense isn't performing, they're just going three and out, and the defense is going to be tired by the third quarter towards the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it could be a close game. It could be 10-7, but the defense is going to be so tired, we'll let up in the fourth quarter. If you have an offense that's getting first downs and holding onto the ball, especially since we're going to be having a running offense, you should be giving your defense a rest, and that top defense will be able to do its job while also being rested. So I'm going to go offensively. I think that's going to be the bigger key.
The reason I think that you're right is because he's talking about an elite defense. And sometimes you're just going to have some numbers against you that it's not going to look like the Chargers are an elite defense, even though they're performing pretty well. So if the Chargers have the seventh best defense or something along those lines, and they have a, you know, top 10 to 15 offense, I think that's a better team than the Chargers being a, you know, below average offense and having an elite defense. Because if their offense is something like 23rd or something in the league, but they're number two defensively, you're still going to be fighting at the end of games. I mean, even if you're giving up only, you know, 16 to 20 points per game, if you're only scoring, you know, around 20 points a game yourself, you're going to have a long season. So that's why I would tend to agree with John, but I'm not really worried about the defense. So I think for the offense, it's going to be so much more important. If they could put up that kind of production, I think the Chargers could have a really good season. But let's get to the next question. This time talking a little bit of fantasy from Luke Chargers on Twitter. We have, what Chargers and general NFL players are you guys targeting in fantasy this year, considering their ADP and etc.? So ADP, for those who don't know, is average draft position. So this is basically the average place where each of the Chargers and other guys are getting taken. So David, when you look at a question like this, are there any Chargers that you're trying to target this year in fantasy?
Yeah, I got two in mind. I think the first one is Austin Eckler, you know, ADP in the second round, pick 9. I think that's still good value. I think Austin Eckler's very efficient every time he touches the football, and he's an all-purpose guy, so he's going to get receptions, he's going to get carries. I think he's still going to have success in the end zone, so I obviously love the pick of Austin Eckler right there. And then as a sleeper or a late-round guy, I think I like Mike Williams in the 12th. In non-PPR leagues, because he doesn't get a lot of volume catches, but he does get a lot of chunk plays. I think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns this year if he's used correctly in the red zone. He still has that big frame that I think, you know, the Chargers can still benefit from, and Mike Williams will benefit from with the big plays. I think there's no chance he's going to have another year with just two touchdowns. I see a big bounce back. And as far as a player that's not a Charger, a guy that I'd like is DeAndre Hopkins towards the end of the second round. I think with Kyler Murray, he's still going to get a ton of targets, and he's going to be able to catch a lot more balls, or he's still going to catch a large number of balls, and he has a good wide receiver that's opposite him in Larry Fitzgerald that's going to take a little bit of the pressure away from DeAndre Hopkins, not as many double teams. So I think he's still going to be productive there in Arizona.
Yeah, I think for the Chargers offensively this year, it's kind of hard because you're moving away from something that you knew. I mean, Keenan Allen was a lock for, you know, 90-plus receptions every year under Phillip Rivers just because of the volume and the type of offense they were running, but we just don't know what that volume is now. So I think it's hard to kind of project Chargers fantasy-wise, like Austin Eckler. I think Austin Eckler, I mean, he's not going to get 90-plus receptions this season like he did last season, but does that mean he couldn't do, you know, top 20 numbers as far as a little bit more rushing yards potentially this year? Maybe he breaks off a couple more for 20 plus yard touchdowns if the Chargers are outside of the red zone. And then maybe in the receiving game, he can still put up, you know, 60 to 70 catches, get all of those yards, get the touchdowns there, because up to this point, he's been far outproducing whatever he's been picked in fantasy just because he is always so slept on. And this year, he's starting to finally get that respect as a guy that the people are taking in the third round. I would look at a guy like Chris Carson somewhere late in the third round. I think that's a pretty good steal. I had him on my team last year. I really like that pick. And it seems like Russell Wilson, people are finally catching on. Russell Wilson historically is always a guy I end up getting in like the 9th or 10th round. Be careful. Sometimes people let him slide away, but Russell Wilson, always a good pick. And if you need a flyer for any given week and you need a quarterback to fill in for a bye week or something like that, I do think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a very legitimate option there, especially with the rushing yards. He gets 50 rushing yards in a game. 2 touchdowns, I mean, you're already sitting at close to a 20-point game if you even have like 200 to 250 passing yards. So I think with his legs, he could be a legitimate flyer on bye weeks as well. But we do have more questions to get into. This time we're going to be getting into Brian LaRue, who says, Lynn was a big focus of Hard Knocks. Maybe want to see him be our coach for the next long while. What do you think he needs to accomplish to cement himself as a longtime coach or a Chargers great, maybe besides a Super Bowl, obviously? Thanks, guys. So, obviously, Anthony Lynn, you know, really opened himself up to the world, telling everyone that he had the coronavirus on Hard Knocks, and also just showing how he handles this team and how they all respect him and don't talk when he talks. And it's just, you can just tell this team respects him so much. But, John, what does Anthony Lynn have to do to not only get himself a long-term contract, but to be thought of as one of the great Chargers coaches?
Consistent success. If you can get between 10 and 12 wins a season, get the Chargers in the playoffs, even if it's in the wild card, because we know Mahomes is going to be around for a while and the Chiefs are going to be pretty dangerous. If you're still getting the team into the postseason and getting at least one win a year, I think you get a long-term contract and you're going to be around a while, and you're going to also be known as a Charger great because you may let us to the playoffs. Super Bowl might be hard to come by. Not everyone can win one, but just being in the playoffs every year, not having what you had last year, you can avoid that. Get a lot more of a dominant streak going where the Chargers are coming in and you're thought of as like the Steelers always are every year, where you know the Steelers have a chance at being good every year. If they're bad, you go, well, that was kind of unsuspected, but it happens. But the Chargers, it's the other way around, is they actually were kind of good this year. I didn't expect that. You know, if you got to get that Steeler mindset into this franchise, I think that will get Anthony Lynn into the Charger greats.
And I think he's going for that, right? I mean, I think him and Mike Tomlin, neither one having an extreme specialty on either side of the ball, and really just have to go on how much these players want to play for them. But it's also hugely dependent on the talent that's given to them as well. I mean, let's think of who we think of as great coaches. Bill Belichick has Tom Brady. Pete Carroll has Russell Wilson. I mean, a lot of times it's linked to the players that they have. I mean, so for the Chargers, I think a lot of it has to do with how good Justin Herbert is for how Tom Telesco and Anthony Lynn look. I mean, if Justin Herbert ends up leading the Chargers to the playoffs consistently on a consistent basis and he starts leading the team to winning seasons, I mean, Tom Telesco is going to look like a genius. Anthony Lynn's going to look like a great coach, right? So I think a lot of it is also tied to the players that they have as well. With this loaded roster, he has to win, because if not, you're the guy that's holding this team back, because when you look at the talent that's on there, that brings along some expectations. And when he only has a one-year extension after this year, they haven't shown a ton of faith in him so far. But the leadership side of it, how much his team respects him, wants to play for him, I believe he has that in spades. So I think that gets you a lot of credibility and leniency, but you also have to put in results on the field as well. We have one more question to get into, though. We have Edward Miesis on Twitter, who's asking, looking back, if Russell Okung didn't express his displeasure with the organization's plans, do you think the Trey Turner trade still happens? So, David, if he doesn't go out there and say he's questioning the Chargers, you know, goals and their future, do you think they still, you know, trade him, you know, as quickly as they did?
Well, as far as are they still going to look for getting Trey Turner, I don't think so. I think they were definitely going to try to address the right guard position regardless, because they were going to lose Michael Schofield to free agency. So I think they were going to address the position no matter what. But I think it was really just a opportunity that Tom Telesco saw when Russell Okung voiced his displeasure. And he saw an opportunity and saw a little bit of a vulnerable Carolina Panthers team, and they swapped a disgruntled left tackle for a much younger right guard in Trey Turner, a guard that's much cheaper and a player that the Chargers could, if he regained some of his form from his earlier years, build around for many years to come.
Yeah, I think that there's still a chance that the trade still happens. I mean, the Chargers don't often make trades that big. So, I mean, to say you would see it coming is pretty unlikely. I mean, it's the biggest trade as far as what the Chargers are getting back and giving away in Tom Telesco's career as a general manager. So it's hard to say you would see it coming, but I think there's still a chance that it happens. I mean, I think even with a pulmonary embolism, obviously, if you cut somebody like that, it's pretty ruthless. If you trade them and give them a chance on another team because you're not sure if that player kind of still has it and you're not sure if they're going to be worth the cap hit that they're going into, I think that it's still a trade that makes sense. But it's hard to say whether or not that specific tweet, what he was putting out there publicly because he is his own agent, is what finally kicked it open for the Chargers. But now he's questioning whether he even wants to play this season or if he's going to retire due to all the concerns about the COVID-19 virus. So it looks like the Panthers might not be getting anything out of that. So right now it looks like a big W for the Chargers. But obviously, when you see either Sam Tevy or Trey Pipkins out there at left tackle, we're going to be missing a healthy Russell Okung. So I will say that as well. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you to everybody for all the Twitter questions. I thought it was a really, really good batch of questions. But we'll be back with you guys on Monday. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to get your voicemail on the show or your question asked, make sure to call or text 323-524-7924. We try to get every Chargers voicemail played on the show, but we'll be back with you guys next week. Have a great weekend, but until then, take it easy and go Bolts.